It's Against All Odds presented by FanDuel. Hey, take a shot at betting the NBA with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Right now, you can check out the new and improved Parlay Hub, filtered by odds, sport, and bet type to easily find the most popular parlays and same game parlays all on one page. Plus, start betting on the Explore page and the Pulse and bet live same game parlays for every NBA game. Download the app today. Bet with FanDuel, the official partner of the NBA. The Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com to learn more about the resources and helplines available and listen to the end of the episode for additional details. You must be 21 or older and present in select states. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com. Cousin Sal's winning weekend. We are gearing up for a huge couple days here. We've got the Final Four and the Final Boss as The Rock returns to WrestleMania. And I think my son has a final exam in pre-calc. Not sure if FanDuel is offering any parlays on that, but they do have plenty of other bets on the menu for us to gobble up. Who will be cutting down the nets on Monday night? We're going to talk to CBS college basketball analyst Clark Kellogg. He's going to be in Arizona. Get his thoughts on whether or not anyone could stop UConn and his thoughts on donuts, his Final Four favorite donuts, because why not? Later on, the D3 will be joining me to go over their Final Four picks, FanDuel specials, and Brother Bri is going to face the cap of consequences for filling out an all-time brutal bracket. He's been drawing dead since the Maui Invitational, I think. But first, let's recap the biggest sports stories of the week in the segment that just received an offer from Ice Cube to play in the Big Three. It's Cover Four. All right, if I'm looking sound as a pound, or if over the next hour you catch me acting the maggot, it's probably because I just spent a long weekend in Ireland. I was there for my pal Little A's wedding. It was a grand time. And for those manky sorts who don't believe me, here's some photographic evidence. This is me inside an Irish butcher shop, aka Heaven. Not sure what that woman's problem is. Here's me with a killer owl attached to my arm. And here I am attempting to toss my 10-year-old son into the rapids. Pretty sure he survived. There's a lot more I won't bore you with, but I'm glad there were so many pictures taken because, to be honest, I don't remember a lot of it. So much of the trip was a blur, and I promise you, this weird bout with amnesia has less to do with the consumption of Guinness and more to do with the fact that I forced myself to stay up to watch all the NCAA tournament action. Now I know what they mean by fighting Irish. The whole country is fighting to stay awake after watching American sports all night. Or maybe that's just me, a degenerate sports junkie. The Hoops games in Ireland tipped off at 11 p.m. and 1:30 a.m. One game ended at 4:15 in the morning, which is okay if that same morning you don't have an axe-throwing excursion planned. My poor wife, Melissa, nearly had a hatchet stuck in her forehead because I had to watch 18-year-olds miss free throws before the sun came up. The hatchet part is just a joke. Not a joke, though. My son Jack and I beat the next best axe-throwing tandem, 25-24. Only problem is, I spotted a bloke on the second-place team 2.5 points, proving what I already knew, that bed aches exist on virtually any continent. Ah, Solancha.
Coming to!
Bad news, Ozempic. Your days are O's over. Big is back, at least in men's college basketball. This year's Final Four features the final 7'4", Purdue's Zach Edey, NC State's half-man, half-vending machine, Gen Zebo, DJ Burns, Alabama's Wizard of Wingspan, Grant Nelson, and UConn's Husky, Donovan Klingon. And the bigger they are, the harder I fall for them. I can't wait for Saturday night's national semifinals between Purdue and NC State. Not since Gravedigger and Maximum Destruction went tire to tire at Monster Jam has there been an anticipated mammoth matchup like Burns and Edey. Coincidentally, Burns and Edey would have made for a great name of a comedy duo in the 40s. But the point is, great guard play is no longer the story. We supersized the NCAA tournament, and we didn't even have to expand the field, just the players. And I, for one, say bigger is better. I'm not just saying that because I gained 6 pounds since making a New Year's resolution to lose weight. Here's my sports Big Bang theory. Wemby Mania has taken over the NBA. Andy Reid proved he had the stomach for a back-to-back championship. And now, the humongous hoopsters in the Final Four, and by the way, I didn't even mention the prettiest pituitary mystery, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who made it to the finals of the NIT. That's right, bigger is always better. The Big Gulp, the Big Mac, the Big Lebowski. Nobody asked for the slimmed down versions of Jonah Hill, Seth Rogen, or Anthony Anderson. King size candy bars are the undisputed winner on Halloween. Bob's Big Boy is not nearly as dramatic if it was just called Bob's Boy. And at this rate, don't be surprised if Bigfoot himself makes an appearance as the next Bachelor. I can't even imagine all the hair they're gonna have to drain from the hot tub this season.
Cover 3.
All right, the women's tournament has received a lot of well-deserved attention too. Undefeated South Carolina, Iowa's Caitlin Clark, of course, USC's Juju Watkins, Kim Mulkey's flamboyant pantsuits and potential lawsuits. But there was some attention for the wrong reasons last week in Portland when, before the Elite Eight game between Texas and NC State, officials realized the three-point line was 9 inches too short. I could totally relate. Anyway, the teams were given the opportunity to have the line altered, but it would have taken an hour, and so they decided they were both up against the same discrepancy, so play on they did. But where some people see a giant screw-up, I see opportunity. I love the idea of alternate field and floor measurements in sports. Baseball fields have different dimensions, and it adds to the game. For example, at Yankee Stadium, the right field fence is so ridiculously short, it allows me to make fun of their fans and pretend Juan Soto sucks. So let's go ahead and apply this to other sports, starting with the gridiron. In Kansas City, you should have to drive 125 yards to score. Make it a little more difficult. But in Carolina, you only have to go 4 yards to score. 8 times a year, it makes the Panthers' offense look something other than hapless. The PGA could use a boost to make things interesting, so let's stick a giant windmill on the green and put some bigger obstacles than just the Live Tour's deep pockets. UFC fights don't need to always take place in an octagon. Way too much room. How about some fights take place in those inflatable cash cubes? That way we could see both fists and 50s flying. I need to trademark cash cube combat before Dana White steals it.
Cover 4!
Okay, NC State sent Duke packing last Sunday in their Elite Eight game, and honestly, for a moment, this blessed event brought America together for the first time since the Golden Arches announced McRib season. Yes, the Duke Blue Devils basketball team is despised. The country's collective hatred for the Dukies is more widespread than the IRS, both the actual tax collecting agency and the 90s heel wrestler. So much so, even I chose to join in the other day. Jesus taking on the devil again, this one with a blue hue to it. But this is nothing new. Duke has spent nearly 4 decades being the bad guys, and it got me thinking, how and when will this change? Or is this school locked into the villain role in perpetuity? Some beloved figures have tried to rehabilitate Duke's reputation over the years. Tupac wore a Duke jersey, Barack Obama sat courtside at Cameron Indoor Stadium, fake TV general practitioner Ken Jeong graduated from Duke, and none of it mattered. There's too much evil to overcome. Christian Laettner, Steve Wojciechowski, Mason Plumlee, J.J. Redick, Kyrie Irving, and of course, Ted Cruz lookalike Grayson Allen. Your blood starts to boil just conjuring up their images. If they hired Oprah as their publicist, it wouldn't matter. If their entire starting lineup donated their NIL money to the Red Cross, it wouldn't matter. If Kyle Filipowski gave out Sicilian pizza to opposing fans as they stormed the court. And yet, there's gotta be a way for this team, as loathed as they are, to win over America. Hey, A-Rod was absolutely despised, remember? He rebranded, dated J-Lo, and now people find him tolerable. How about pit bulls? Never the most popular breed. Then they rebranded with Mr. Worldwide, and he sold over 25 million albums. Now people adore pit bull and pit bulls. Even Germany rebranded, for God's sakes. Check your history books. They weren't always the most popular girl at the UN dance party. Now everyone can't stop singing songs about Lederhosen, Oktoberfest, and Heidi Klum. So what can Duke do? Well, there's only one thing, one person, one force, one dynamo of goodness who could help them, Taylor Mother Effing Swift. America's sweetheart needs to help break the negative press and record a double dribble duet with Coach K himself. Now, it might bust up our eardrums, but it's just what the doctor ordered. And speaking of, Dr. Dre produces this, and the Swifties help tear down this Duke dilemma one friendship bracelet at a time. All right, that does it for Cover 4. Now it's time for my irrationally angry attempt to make rational sense of a somewhat irrational bet. It's Wager Razor. All right, I want to discuss the most important thing in the world besides frozen Thin Mints, and that is trust. And I'm proud to say that everyone in this room trusts me, right, babyface?
Let's just get through this.
You see what I mean? The power to trust and believe in someone or something unconditionally is so important. And yet, as the years roll on, we trust people, scenarios, outcomes less and less. And there's good reason for this, of course. We're so used to being duped. You wake up and you check your email and you're told you want an iPad mini. Click here, and just like that, you have a virus. And that's not the only kind of virus you can get from trusting people. Prank videos, produce at the dollar store. It seems fresh, come back, and it's rotten as Bobby Knight after a conference loss.
You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a shit what you do.
April Fool's gags, fortune cookies, phony weight loss pills. There's a ton of fraud out there. But you know what? There's also a lot of things that seem deceptive, but are actually legit. For instance, how many of you got scared off when Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and the now three-time champion Kansas City Chiefs were getting a point and a half against the 49ers who barely deserved to be in the Super Bowl? A rat line, as my Ringer Wise Guys co-host John Jastrzemski calls it. So what did you do? You stayed away, or worse yet, you bet the Niners, and you got tricked for thinking you were about to get tricked. My point is, where sports gambling is concerned, you're not going to get fooled all the time. Take the test. Pass the test. That's the rager. Here's the wager. And these March Hoops Championship games are the first big sporting event since that Super Bowl I mentioned. Let chalk be your friend. Obvious results are right there for us for the next few days. UConn men, South Carolina women, the two very best at what they do. No one's going to convince me they have competition. No upsets occurring when it involves these two juggernaut squads. So trust Cousin Sal's process. There will be nothing but net cutting from those two schools, and you can go to FanDuel and get that parlay at plus 131. Good job by you sticking around for my long-winded chalk talk. We've got a good one for you. Two games expected to be blowouts. Will any of the D3 pick an underdog this weekend to knock off one of the top seeds? And coming up next, we've got Special K, Clark Kellogg. He talks the return of the big man in college basketball, his thoughts on the Final Four, and I'm going to pitch him my very excellent idea to improve Selection Sunday. That's all next on Cousin Sal's Winning Weekend. All right, welcome back to Cousin Sal's Winning Weekend. You know, in the history of basketball, there have been many players that have a last name that starts K, but only one of them is truly special. He's been a fixture of March Madness for decades. Lead college basketball analyst for CBS Sports, Clark Kellogg. Thanks for being here.
My pleasure, Sal. Great to hang out with you. And no better time of year than this time of year as we close in on crowning champions in men's college basketball and also women's college basketball, too.
I know you're very busy. I actually know for a fact that you're very busy because our booker sent me your schedule. I feel like I'm your personal assistant now. You're going to join Jim Jackson and Kevin Kugler to call the Final Four and national championship game. Following the pregame show on TV, you're going to make your way courtside to the radio broadcast position. And then you're going to rejoin TV for halftime before repeating the process in the second half. And I think between games, you're doing a 10K. I don't know. How do you do all this?
Well, I actually get some steps in between our studio set, which is in State Farm Stadium somewhere. I haven't gotten there yet, but I'll see where it is. And usually it's maybe a 100-yard walk from broadcast position to broadcast position. But this has been going on now. I think this will be my eighth year being part of the Westwood One radio coverage for the Final Four games, in addition to my obligations on TV. And many don't know that I got my broadcasting start in radio with the Indiana Pacers when I was forced to retire early because of knee trouble back in 1987. And my first broadcasting experience was with the Indiana Pacers on the radio network, and then graduated to Pacers television and college basketball regionally, and then nationally at ESPN and ultimately at CBS. So it's really fun for me to revisit where it all began as a broadcaster. And radio is a little different than television as an analyst. Kevin Kugler, who's fantastic at both TV and radio, is a great partner. And this will be our second year fellow Buckeyes together, Jim Jackson and I, sharing the microphone with Kevin. So I'm looking forward to it. It's a busy, full, exciting, heavy lift Saturday for me. But I gear up for it, and I get great help from a lot of people, and we make it work.
Yeah, they should have you Ubering all around the arena the way all these deadlines you have. Now, listen, when the brackets came out, you had UConn, North Carolina, Kentucky, and Purdue in your Final Four, right?
Yeah, not bad. That's correct.
Better than me. But a month ago, if I tell you it's going to be UConn, Purdue, Alabama, and 11 seed NC State, scale of 1 to 10, how surprised are you by those four?
Probably an 8.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because Alabama had the firepower. We knew that there were questions about what they could offer from a defensive resistance standpoint, and they found some defensive resistance in the games that they've won. The fact that Purdue and UConn are here, they're both number one seeds and have shown they've been two of the better teams all season long, two of the best teams, maybe the two best teams in the country. North Carolina State, no way anybody had them unless they're Wolfpack fans, Wolfpack alums. Nobody could have seen this coming because they wouldn't have made the field had they not gone on that marvelous, miraculous run in the ACC tournament.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I'm just trying to figure out a way. UConn is a prohibitive favorite to win the whole thing. And obviously Saturday, they're an 11.5-point favorite. I know you said Alabama did what they did to get far. Can they continue this pace? I feel like they've been winning the three ball game. They've been winning at free throws. Is this where it comes to an end?
Well, I think it does. Clearly, you're right. They have won those particular games, and those are essential games to win if you're going to beat any opponent. And then you factor in timely stops as well as being even on the glass or winning the rebounding battle. So the three-point shooting, rebounding, turnovers, and free throws are typically the four statistics you look at. And if you win those, you typically come out on top. But UConn just doesn't have any real weaknesses, and they are a really good defensive team. I just don't see Alabama being able to outduel them from the three-point line or winning any of those areas handily enough to beat a really rock solid without weakness kind of team in UConn.
Yeah. And on the other side, Purdue almost as big a favorite, 9.5 points against NC State. Makes sense. Double digit seed going in Purdue against a one seed. You got the two big guys going. You got big guys all over this, which is nice.
Yes, we do.
You could talk about guard play, and I know on every show it's like, well, the guard play. Yeah. It's come back down to Olajuwon versus Ewing, right? I feel like we haven't seen a matchup with four big guys like this in a while.
It's been a long time, Sal. You're exactly right. As a matter of fact, we get tons of great help from our research staff, both at CBS and with Turner, and I just got something in my inbox yesterday that talked about all the unique components of the big guys. First, we've got a pair of 7'3" guys that are just shy of 300 pounds. And then you factor in DJ Burns Jr., who's 275-ish. So you're talking about almost 1 KLBs that are going to be prominent players in the game. That's not really happened. And unique players, all of them, impactful players, all of them, fun to watch, all of them. So really a lot of unique storylines around the size that we've seen, that we'll see in this Final Four, but also the size we've seen in college basketball the last few years. There have been a number of really good big guys that have been headlining the marquee in a lot of matchups, and this one goes to another level in that regard.
I want to ask you about Selection Sunday because it's already one of the most anticipated days in sports, but I feel like it could be much more suspenseful, and I think it used to be too. I might be wrong, and none of this is your fault, but I feel like you guys should have more of a like a split screen on the remaining bubble coaches and teams, right? Seeing them agonize and hear the final selection. Why do we shy away from this? CBS has Survivor. They're masters of this in terms of drawing up suspense.
Man, that's a very interesting thought. I've never heard that idea articulated. Our goal in that show really is to provide some information and get the brackets out as soon as we can. And we do it in a pretty expeditious fashion.
But it
would be interesting if there was a component, like you suggest, although you'd have to get the approval of those coaches on the stoop or bubble. And many of them are not quite as willing to give that kind of access, but it's certainly an idea. I would actually vet that with our with our execs and see what their what their reaction and response would be to it. Yeah.
You know what? And you say to Rick Pitino, you say, you know what? It's your choice. If you don't want to be involved in this, the committee is going to take that under consideration as to whether you're the 68th team or not. But you have Greg Gumbel. I know Greg wasn't there this year, but you have Greg Gumbel and say, when we return, we're going to reveal the 68th team in the bracket. Is it Virginia or is it? I think you could do it like, or St. John's. You do it like that. I think that's the way to do it.
Very interesting. No, that's a really creative idea to consider whether or not it would fly, but it certainly is worth putting, whether or not it would certainly be worth putting on the table for discussion and conversation.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Please put it on the table.
I will. I'll discuss it with my colleagues and some of the folks that make those kind of decisions.
Beautiful. I actually believe you when you say that. I don't know if I should, but all right.
Oh, no question. No.
I wanted, before I let you go, I want to see who you would pick to win some other Final Fours that don't involve college basketball necessarily, right?
Okay. All right.
All right. I'm going to present you with, let's start with this. Final Four number 33s. Yourself, Larry Bird, Patrick Ewing, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Who emerges?
Well, my guy is Kareem, and he was one of my basketball idols when I first fell in love with the game as an 8-9-year-old. And I wore 33 because of Kareem. Lou Alcindor is when I first met him and watched him at UCLA. So it would be Kareem for me.
Now, when you're saying Kareem, you're not saying Kareem, the Sycamore Indiana State center, right? Who they call Kareem, Avila? I don't know if you said,
I'm saying Kareem.
Just want to make sure.
I'm saying Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, formerly Jabbar. Lou Alcindor.
Yeah. Okay.
Howard Memorial High School in New York. That's the guy I'm talking about.
All right. I'm clear now. All right. Bald guys. You're a bald guy. I'm on my way for sure. Michael Jordan, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Samuel L. Jackson, or Larry David?
Oh, wow. I'm going MJ on that one.
MJ over LD and DJ. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
He's pretty special. Basketball movies, Hoosiers, He Got Game, White Men Can't Jump, or Space Jam?
Wow. Hoosiers for me.
Hoosiers. For me. Yeah. Yeah. That's a solid. It's
great,
gotta be.
Yeah, but that's a great Final Four. But Hoosiers would get the top billing for me.
You have Indiana ties. Yeah.
Exactly. That's part of it. That is definitely part of it, Sal. That is a huge part of it. Yeah.
All right. And this one, and probably the most important on the docket, donuts, glazed, sugar, Boston cream, chocolate sprinkle.
Glazed. That's the standard traditional donut. And the good ones are really good. So that's an easy one for me.
All right, good. I'm glad we played. You know, with no hesitation, he said glaze. Do you have just as honest opinion on the finals? UConn taking it all? They're going far?
I do. I think UConn does it again. It's they've been primed to repeat, and they've got all the ingredients to do so. I would love to see the matchup happen with Purdue. And I think it would be a terrific matchup, but I'm going to, if I had to push all of my chips to the center of the table, I'd put them on UConn.
All right. Charles may expect you to push the chips to the end of the table. You never know. Clark Kellogg, looking forward to watching you. The Final Four on Saturday. Enjoy the games. Enjoy a glazed donut. He's all over your TV. Check him out on CBS Sports. Thanks for coming on, Clark.
Hey, Sal, enjoyed it. Very much, man. And I love the Final Fours outside of hoops. That was nice. And I love your idea around adding some spice to Selection Sunday.
Please get that going. Please. I will. I'll be forever indebted. I'll get you tickets to the Final Four.
I promise that I would put it on the table for discussion and consideration and just kind of see what folks think about it. It would be a good conversation starter.
God bless you. Thanks, Clark. We're going to be back with more Cousin Sal's Winning Weekend in a moment. All right, welcome back to Cousin Sal's Winning Weekend. Hey, when it comes to applying to college, these guys also did it bracket style. Somehow it worked out too, kinda. Here to help break down the Final Four, my wizards of wagering, my gurus of gambling, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds at D3, Harry, brother Brian, Darren, the Parlay Kid. What is happening, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
What's happening, Sal?
What's going on, buddy?
Well, before we get to the actual Final Four, we gave Clark Kellogg was on. I don't know if you saw him during the commercial, before the commercials. Great guy. We gave him the option of picking the Final Four of bald men And he said Michael Jordan. Everybody loves this Michael Jordan. I wish I was alive to see him. But let me ask you guys, as bald men yourselves, would you take MJ, The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, or Samuel L. Jackson, or Larry David? Those are your choices. That's the final four. Or you could take an at-large bald guy. What are you going to go with? Paulie Kidd, start us off.
Well, that's an easy one. So I got to agree with Mr. Kellogg there.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan, look, we grew up with Telly Savalas, right?
Right.
But I'm not sure if bald was cool at that point just yet. Michael Jordan made being bald cool. That's the only thing cool about Harry is being bald. That's by far.
I didn't even know that.
Michael Jordan, the king of bald.
All right.
He made it. He paved the way for the rest of us.
You know, you might be right. I think Telly Savalas, though, once he had the lollipop, he maybe inspired Jordan a little. Like, hey, I could do this. Just look at this guy. All right, Harry. The only cool thing about you. Who else is the best? Who's the best ball?
Not even talking Purdue yet. And Parley Kid's probably taking shots. Okay. Listen, I was thinking, how about Bruce Willis?
All right. Yeah.
Good call, right? And if we couldn't get Bruce Willis out, who's great, legendary actor, how about H-Dog? H-Dog would count.
That's great, great analysis. Okay. Bri, what do you say?
Well, look, I'm going to copy Harry here. And as a bald man, I'd like to say thanks to the ones who paved the way before us to make this okay for men to be bald here. You know, so people like Harry didn't unnecessarily go and buy toupees. For no reason. Bruce Willis, look, he was a good-looking guy regardless at the time. But I feel like it turned the page with women, right, where they were like, bald men could actually be sexy here. And I think Bruce Willis definitely did that. Not Michael Jordan, because when Michael Jordan had short hair, he was never really balding. He just shaved his head.
That's true.
So I think Bruce Willis is definitely the guy.
By the way, you people think that Brother Bri is making a joke about Harry and the toupee. Oh, no. Harry thought he was going to get a job broadcasting at CNN. He bought a toupee. And I think you're supposed to spend money on the upkeep. And Harry's like, F that. I'm done with this. Right?
Pretty much how it went down. Pretty much.
Owl's nest for the next 2 years.
Plus, I had to go to a bad side of town in Las Vegas. It wasn't worth it anymore.
I'm going to go with Jada Pinkett Smith because she is just a delight. No. I'm not going with her. Don Rickles, actually someone with a sense of humor. Great sense of humor, in fact. In fact, I think the others on this list would pick Don Rickles. If you said if you could be in a room with one bald guy, I think they would all say, Don Rickles, you know, I'm going with Mr. Warmth. I got to meet him, and I feel like he's the pick over all these other hockey pucks. All right, so our pick is in. Clark Kellogg's pick is in, but we haven't gotten to the games yet. Final Four, Saturday. Let's do it. Arizona, NC State, and Purdue, they tip off first. Purdue is a 9.5-point favorite. 146.5 is the over-under. I looked at this for a while. Historically speaking, guys, it does not look good for NC State. I can't even say the word. Six double-digit seeds made the Final Four. None of them made the finals. And add to that they're facing likely two-time Wooden Award winner Zach Edey. 8 is the lowest seed to make the finals, right? Paulie Kidd, that's Villanova. They won it. In 22, UNC made it. Kentucky in 14 and Butler in 11. These are all Final Four teams. Didn't get to the final game. So I don't know. Now, what does this say about a cover? Well, Gonzaga beat UCLA 93-90 in 2021. That was probably one of the greatest games of all time. I'm still taking NC State. There's a long way to say I'm taking NC State. I want to buy, though, insurance, because if DJ Burns has 2 fouls with 13 minutes left in the first half, I want to get out of the bet. Can I do that? Does FanDuel offer that? I don't think they do. 9 straight wins for the Wolfpack. I like their fight. They were down by 9 against Duke and just kept up the grit. DJ Horn, I think, started this with the middle finger. I think he keeps them up Saturday. And NC State, one more middle finger to the people betting the chalk here. I think Purdue wins 77-72, but the 9.5 is too many. Don't forget, Wolfpack 3-0 against the spread as a 9-point dog or more. Harry, you're with me with NC State. You have to be. You hate Purdue.
Well, yeah, but also, thank God for NC State, Sal. Thank God for NC State. Or else, because if Duke would have won that game, this Final Four would be garbage. I wouldn't want to root. I hate Duke. UConn's too good. Don't want to root for an SEC basketball school. And obviously, don't want to root for Purdue. So, thank God for NC State. I'm taking the 9.5.
Okay.
I'm taking the 9.5 in a Final Four game. DJ Horney mentioned, and Burns are playing out of their mind for the Wolfpack. Maybe Burns can use his body, push Edie around a bit more, get him out of his rhythm like Tennessee couldn't do over this 9-game span winning streak, Sal. They've been scoring still plenty, the Wolfpack have. They've scored 73 points or more in 8 of those last 9 games. Makes me like the 9.5 even more. I think that you're somewhere where Purdue maybe wins this game by 5, but I'm going to take the 9.5 on a final.
All right, by the way, Clark Kellogg, a worldly man, right? Has traveled all over, knows all the schools. What did he say, babyface, about Coach Painter? Loved him? Great. It's about time this happened for him. He's had some bad breaks. Wasn't something like that?
That was accurate.
Okay, that's accurate. Harry and the Parlay Kid have been going at it.
Is losing to a 16 seed a bad break? Man.
Yeah, sure is. I think it is. Parlay Kid, you and Harry have been battling about Painter. Is he great? You did not go back on your word. You might have been maybe wrong in the beginning, but he is great now. Harry did go back on his word for saying he would give him credit for making the Final Four. But anyway, you like Purdue to cover this big number.
Yes, yeah, so it is a little bit big, but I've been on Purdue, and they're just the type of team to do it. I think this is a great matchup for Purdue against this NC State team, just with Edie's size. You know, so Edie is one of only 4 players in the last 70 years to average 30 and 16 through the first 4 games of the NCAA tournament. He is on an absolute mission, but he's really not a one-man show. Yes, against Tennessee he was, but this is a great 3-point shooting team, number 1 in the country, top 4 in offensive efficiency, top 10 in scoring, rebounds, and free throws made. This team can do it all, Sal. They're the only team here, in my mind, that can give UConn any type of game in the finals. But Purdue rolls here, Sal. They might roll late, but I think they cover this 9.5.
Parley Kid did pick Purdue to meet UConn in the finals. I think you had Purdue winning that. Seth Greenberg, who was on, had the exact opposite result, but still those two in the finals. So good job by you so far. Brother Bri, you're taking the total here.
Yeah, give me the over 146.5. Look, Purdue is a very good offensive team. You know, they beat Tennessee without shooting well from the outside, which they typically do. And Tennessee is a very, very good defensive team. And look, I don't think NC State's going to be able to stop Edie inside. And Burns, they're going to have to double a lot because they don't want Burns picking up fouls early in this game, which is going to leave guys wide open for 3. So I like them scoring a bunch here. NC State over the last 3 weeks has played really well offensively. And, like, I think there's going to be a lot of fouls in this game, which means the clock stopping, which results in more points here. So give me the over 146.5. I think this is Purdue wins 79-73.
Let me just see if Harry has any redeemable qualities whatsoever. If Purdue as an underdog goes and beats UConn on Monday, let's say that's a matchup, Harry, will you give Matt Painter credit?
Absolutely.
You will.
100%.
Well, absolutely. 100% said, you said all 100%. The credit in the world,
listen,
you said.
Again, Darren just ripped that stat off about Edie. Okay, so that's basically what I said. Throw the ball down low and let him do whatever he wants to get the 30 and 16. And they had 40 and 16 last game.
We've seen a lot of big guys
UConn,
not
beat
not
UConn and don't lose by 25 to UConn. Beat him.
Happens,
and that'll give you credit.
Be Matt Painter.
You're in the finals.
Right. Okay. Babyface just made a joke. All right. Listen, let's go to the other game here. UConn, 11.5 point favorite, 160.5 against Alabama. I'm taking the Huskies. I'm doing it. I don't care. I got to do it. They won by 39, 17, 30, and 25. I don't want to say Alabama's been lucky. They've been making their threes. They've been flushing their free throws. But their opponents have not. Clemson from 3, 8 for 26. UNC from 3, 12 for 32. And a bunch of those went in at the end when it didn't matter. Grand Canyon, 2 for 20. That was Harry's team. There you go. You want to chalk that up to great defense? I didn't see it. I saw desperate shots that I don't think we'll see from Danny Hurley's squad. I trust Tristan Newton and Cam Spencer to play a smarter brand of basketball than the Crimson Tide at seed. Klingon should have his way in the post. 90-72 final. UConn keeps it going. Parley Kid, you're with me here.
Yeah, so I think you nailed your analysis there. UConn has averaged in these 4 games, so average margin of victory, 27.5 points. When have we seen that? They're 24-1 over their last 25 games. They have such balanced scoring, 5 guys in double figures. And so they have a good mix of inside, outside on this team. Look, Alabama can score with the best of them. In fact, they are the best in terms of scoring in the country. But UConn just their defense is far superior to Alabama's defense. And I think that eventually where the shots won't fall for Alabama, UConn pulls away late, wins this game by around 15, Sal, 85 to 70. Let's take it. UConn.
I'll take it. Bry, got anything to add? You like the Huskies as well.
Well, look, I'm so glad you finally turned the page, Sal, and decided you were going to back UConn here, figuring they just continue to keep covering 10-0 against the spread in these last two tournaments. And again, the closest game in those 10 was 13 points. You know, they just play so well together, have the best coach in the game right now. Good mix of veterans with a little bit of youth here. And look, they beat up that Illinois team. Who is good. Yeah. And so I would say, like, if you really want to back Bama here with the points, I would say maybe take them in the first half here. But I think UConn wins another one easily.
All right, Harry, lots of points in this one. 160 and a half is already high.
Yeah, look, I'm going to take the over. Look, Bama was, again, highest scoring team in the country during the regular season at over 90 points a game. They've scored 89 or more in three of the four tournament games so far, and they scored 89 or more 20 times this season, the Tide have. Meanwhile, UConn, so balanced, so efficient. Newton, Spencer, Klingon have led the Huskies in scoring the last three games. Bama, I think, pushes the tempo. Something that I think UConn will be just fine with. Bama will hit some threes, but I think it's going to be a lot of points. I got UConn winning 92-80.
All right. Hey, stick around. We aren't done. Did you think we were done? No, we're not done with the Final Four. We're going to take a look at some other specialty bets FanDuel is offering, as well as our pick for most outstanding player in the Final Four. Oh, and oh, brother, brother Bry faces the cap of consequences. It's not going to be pretty. That's next on Cousin Sal's Winning Weekend. Cousin Sal's Winning Weekend, still joined by the D3 Harry, Brother Bry, and Darren, the Parlay Kid. You can hear them twice a week on Against All Odds. These guys have been on a Cinderella run making picks, so let's keep it going. By the way, first of all, I do want to say, Brother Bry, Parlay Kid, we were in Ireland. I did a whole thing on it about how we had to stay up till like 4 in the morning and watch games, and then we were bleary-eyed walking through cliffs and caves and doing archery. Have you recovered, Bry?
No, not yet. Not fully. Not fully. Another. Yeah. But I will say it's great to be able to watch games at a normal hour.
I know.
Even if it's 11:30. I mean, that's great. I mean, geez.
That's the only thing that sucked about that country, Parlay Kid, right? And by the way, everybody looked like the Parlay Kid and Brother Bry. You guys belong there. You never should have got back on the plane.
A lot of distant relatives over there, for sure. So, but the only thing was, you're saying, we were watching the games, but also remember, we weren't watching games on TVs. We were watching them on our phones, too.
On our phones, so, like our grandfathers did before us. That was the way to do it. Yeah. All right, let's do this. FanDuel has specials. You know, we're running out of games in college, so you go on FanDuel. You go to Final Four specials. I'm going to hit you one first. UConn to win the remaining games by 10 or more points, plus 215. Now, I already have 90-72 as a final in this first game. The look-ahead lines for UConn, if they were to advance, minus 15.5 against NC State. I could say this. I don't do guess the lines with Simmons for college. He despises college. In fact, he hates his daughter for going to college. I don't understand it. And minus 5.5 against Purdue. Now, listen, I feel like I can always hedge a little. I'll figure out a way if I win the first one, get plus 215, six wins by 13 or more last year's tournament, average margin of victory 28 this year. This probably should be even odds. This is really crazy. Well, we've not seen a team like this in a while. And Purdue has it in them to get thumped if they go to the finals. They lost by 16 to Nebraska. I love this bet. UConn by 10 or more in both games Saturday. And if they win that, get to Monday. That's plus 215. Harry, you're an even bolder risk here.
Yeah, I'm going to go 20 or more at 11-1. Look, UConn is a machine. Everyone contributes. On any given night, one of five guys can lead this team in scoring. Had that 30-0 run against Illinois and won that by 25. Beat last year's runner-up San Diego State by 30. Rolled the other two. Only won by 17 over Northwestern, but they were up 40 at one point. Last year, their average margin of victory during the tournament was 20. You just mentioned it's 28 this year. Why not? At 11-1 with a team this dominant, who's definitely been the most – definitely the best team all season long, you can get at 11-1.
That's a fun one. I feel like you could hedge that too if you get that first one in Saturday. All right, Parlay Kid, I do like this because you're kind of getting good bang for your buck here. Actually, Bryce is the one too. But biggest blowout, UConn, Bama. We're all kind of saying the same thing.
Yeah, biggest blowout in the Final Four here. I mean, you only have two games to choose from. We'll take the UConn-Alabama game at -160. We just mentioned UConn has average margin of victory is 27.5 points. Alabama, look, they've had a great run here, Sal, but Cinderella's time has come to an end here for them. UConn, look, they're just a machine right now. I don't see any reason why they're not winning this game by 15+. I do think Purdue wins by in double figures as well, but I think that game plays close until maybe the last 10 minutes of that game. Now, I think this UConn game, after about 10 minutes, they start pulling away and away and away.
And so, I know it goes against your original pick, but if Purdue only wins by 3 or NC State wins by 3, you're sitting pretty for that second game at -160. Yeah. Okay. All right, Brian, this is the one I like. Lowest scoring team, Bama +220.
Yeah,
Bama. If you figure they're going to lose, then you're just rooting against one team, right?
Right, exactly. Bama +220 here is the lowest scoring team. I mean, look, they are the highest scoring team in the country, but look. Look what we've seen UConn do to these other teams, right? No one has scored in this tournament more than 58 points. And as a matter of fact, they've held six straight tournament opponents to under 60 points. And look, when you talk about top offensive teams, they just played Illinois, right? Who was one of the top 11 teams in the country in offense. They only scored 52 points. So I think UConn can dictate the pace of this game. They've had all week to game plan. You got to factor in, right? They're playing at a football stadium too, so it could lead to more poor shooting to start. So I think Bama needs to get into the upper 60s here for this to not lose. And I think UConn shuts them down.
All right. Now let's do Final Four MOP. Outstanding player, not valuable player. Zach Edey is +195. He's the favorite, which is interesting. It's fun because he's on the team that we don't necessarily think is going to win the whole thing. So it makes the other odds for the players on the team that we think is probably going to win the whole thing, except for you, Pauly Kid, better. Edey +195, Tristan Newton +340, Donovan Klingon +340 if you want to have fun. DJ Burns is 29-1. There might be a better way to play that. You know what? I'm going to go with Tristan Newton. I would actually do Newton and Klingon and just hope that Spencer didn't do it for UConn. You get two at +340, but we already made the graphic, so I'll take Tristan Newton. 15-7-7 he averages. He took the Illinois game off. He scored in double digits in the previous 13 games. He's the only player in the nation averaging 6 or more assists and 6 or more rebounds per game. And outside of Adama Sanogo, last season, a guard has won this award in each of the last 9 tournaments dating back to 2012. So I'll take Tristan Newton +340. Brother Bri, you're with me on this.
Yeah, I love him too. And look, for a guy like Klingon to have to win this, right, he's got to be great for like basically 40 minutes of action. Because look, for as good as the games he's had recently, Klingon, he's only playing 25 minutes tops. And if they play Purdue, going up against Edey, Klingon's not going to put up great offensive numbers in that game. He'd have to be dominant defensively. So I like Newton here because he's the best player on this team, most important player on this team, does a little bit of everything. And we saw last year against San Diego State in the final, he was one of the best players on the floor.
So you think maybe Newton and Harry's guy, Cam Spencer, if you're going to split the UConn money.
I like that.
All right, tell us about Cam Spencer, Harry.
Yeah, 5-1 odds. Senior led the team in scoring versus San Diego State with 18 and had a double-double in the elite game matchup versus Illinois. 12 times this year, he scored 18 or more, shot 49% from the field, and can knock down threes too with the best of them. 44% this year from long range and on defense. Since winning the Big East tournament versus Marquette, Spencer has 10 steals in 5 games.
All right, Pauly Kid, you're saying that the obvious number's right there. Why are we all avoiding it? Zach Edey.
Well, here's what you just mentioned, Sal. I was about the most outstanding player. I guess this could go to somebody on the losing team as well, right? So Edey puts up two big games, I guess, at +195. I think we're getting decent value there. Now, I'm not sure if I really would bet this, being that Purdue is +190 to win it all. Right. I would probably play it safe and just take Purdue at +190. But I think there's a little wiggle room here to say that Edey could still win this award without Purdue winning. So I think maybe that's what you're getting here a little bit. Most likely that's not going to happen, but I do like Purdue. I've called it from the beginning of the year. I have to stay with it. And Edie, obviously, everything runs through him. He's been awesome.
You're saying huge game.
So why
Saturday.
Not just bet him?
What?
Well.
So why not just bet Edie?
Well, that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing. But my
what happened
my point,
to Harry? What's he talking about?
Harry, my point being is.
Oh my God! Right, he's coughing all over.
If you think the only way he can win this award is Purdue winning, you can play it safe and just take Purdue at plus 190.
Right.
Rather than, because you could have a guard go off for Purdue for two games, I guess, and they could still win it.
Nobody's winning it besides him on this. No,
most likely.
Nobody.
But what Parley Kid is saying, oh, forget it. I mean, imagine trying to explain.
No, I know what he's saying.
No, but if Edie goes crazy in the first game, in the Saturday game, gets like 39, and then there's like a buzzer beater and UConn wins Monday, and Edie has a good game, they might think of giving it to Edie. Right? Can we move on from this? I want to get to the cap of consequences. It's so much fun.
I know.
Listen, the bracket challenge, hold on. The bracket challenge between us has yet to be decided. You know, it comes down to me and the Parlay Kid, but no one really cares who wins these things. We want to punish the guy who did the worst. And Brother Bri, you did the very worst. I think we have your bracket up here somewhere. They'll post it there. Yeah, there it is. What do you had? You had Arizona and Houston in the finals?
Yeah. Well, look, I told you, I blame that injury and the Houston game. They would have beat.
Didn't even win the conference tournament.
Yeah, they would have got past Duke, though.
I don't even think those teams were in there. I'm not sure. I mean, you really.
I had to change it up. I couldn't go chalk. I mean, that never works.
All right, so listen to this. So whatever, it didn't work for you in any way. What we're going to do is we're going to put some consequences here. I'll read them off. Babyface Joel Solomon. Joins the bald club because he just gave up his hat where I'm going to put these here. So the number one, here's number one, Clown College, Bri. For picking such a bad bracket, you must enroll in Clown College and wear full clown makeup and outfit for one segment of the show. You like that?
All right.
You're not loving that?
That's all right.
Okay.
That's all right.
You can Husky. Bri, Brother Bri must eat a full meal out of a dog food bowl. Interesting. I feel like you've done that before. You're drunk in Ireland.
Yeah, I do. Right. Yeah. I mean, my dog bowl hasn't been cleaned in a while. So
good. Let's keep that same. Last in the pool. For finishing last in the NCAA pool, Brother Brian must now jump into the pool with all his clothes on and then sit there soaking wet for a segment. Okay. That's good. Get you wet for a pool. And then there's eat your words. Brian, you filled out a bracket. You must eat your words. You wrote these out. You have to chomp on Arizona and Houston, which is going to have the phallus stench. You'll eat a bracket during the show. Have you done that before?
No, I mean, I maybe ate a little piece of paper when I was a kid. That's about it.
Okay. All right. I put these in a hat. Which one are you not? Which one would you rather eat? Dog food or your bracket? It's tough, right?
My bracket.
All right, let's see. Hopefully I pick dog food then. Eat your words. Brother Bri has to eat a bracket. We're going to print out that bracket. You're going to eat it over the course of a segment next week. It's going to be delightful. I know you have food allergies. Are you allergic to?
Well, it's funny that you say that. I was going to say, I wonder if I'm allergic to ink or paper.
Oh, we're going to find out.
You know, I have a lot of digestive issues, so yeah.
And by the way, there's going to be groups out here really upset about this, that you're like eating a tree. What a waste of a tree and stuff like that. All right, get ready, Brian. You're going to have to do that next week on national television or whatever that is. I'm looking forward to it. Fellas, thanks again. We wrap things up next on Cousin Sal's Winning Weekend when we return. Sal's Winning Weekend. That does it for this week. My thanks again to Special K, Clark Kellogg. I'm looking forward to what the execs have to say about my Selection Sunday idea. And to the Special H, Harry, the Parlay Kid, and Brother Bri. Next week, Bri faces the cap of consequences. Thanks to all of you for watching and listening. Please always remember, you may feel like an underdog, but just know, you're all my favorites. Happy handicapping!